Today on Straight Talk Africa, President Barack Obama plans to travel to his father's homeland, Kenya, where he will co-chair the Global Entrepreneurship Summit with Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta. From there, he proceeds to the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, to meet with government officials and the African Union Commission. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, July 22nd. I am Shaka Salih. My colleague and social media reporter, Maria Majaro, continues on her special assignment in the Senegalese capital, Dakar. And today, we'll discuss the significance of U.S. President Barack Obama's trip to Africa, with stops in his father's homeland of Kenya and Ethiopia. And coming up later in our STA inbox, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, tweets, and Facebook comments, and we'll reveal some of them later. But first, U.S. President Barack Obama has made Africa a top priority this week. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari visited the White House on Monday to discuss key security issues, and tomorrow, Mr. Obama will travel to Kenya and Ethiopia to talk about trade and security issues. The top U.S. diplomat for Africa, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, recently discussed Mr. Obama's trip here on Straight Talk Africa. My colleague, Paul Sisko, has more.
You know, I stand before you as the President of the United States and a proud American. I also stand before you as the son of a man from Africa.
Building on progress made at the U.S.-African Leaders Summit in Washington last summer, President Obama travels to Africa. He'll attend the Global Entrepreneurship Summit in Nairobi, Kenya, on July 25th and 26th, before moving on to Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa.
There are people who feel that perhaps, in fact, the president shouldn't be going to Addis Ababa. Why?
For us, the president's trip to Ethiopia is an important stop. It's an important stop that will convey to the government and people of Ethiopia our commitment to supporting their efforts in fighting terrorism, but also will be an opportunity to use the voice of the president to convey messages to the government of Ethiopia regarding human rights, regarding press freedom, and to ensure that this government continues efforts in that will put Ethiopia in the right place when it comes to human rights.
The president will meet with the Ethiopian leadership, visit the headquarters of the African Union, and address its leadership. The African visit comes as a deadly civil war rages on between the forces of South Sudan's President Salva Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar.
And the solution is peace, and neither one of them have been willing to set aside their own goals to move in that direction.
Let's go to the issue of Burundi, the Burundi crisis.
She also explained the U.S. position on term limits in light of Burundi's President Pierre Nkurunziza's controversial bid for a third term and a similar push in Rwanda for President Paul Kagame.
Consistently, we have stated that we do not support any government that changes its constitution to extend term limits that benefits the president who is in power. And it doesn't matter what country that is.
With this trip, the president reaffirms America's support for the emerging continent and will continue raising good governance issues with his African counterparts.
To the new Africa, the Africa that is rising and so full of promise, and to our shared task to keep on working for the peace and prosperity and justice that all our people seek and that all our people so richly deserve.
Paul Sisko, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. And before we begin today's discussion, I am joined by my colleague, Vincent McCauley, host and managing editor of Voice of America's Africa 54, a daily news magazine television program. He is on assignment in Kenya, covering President Obama's visit. He joins us live from the capital, Nairobi. Good evening, Vincent.
Good evening, Dugu Shaka.
How are you?
I'm doing well, Shaka. I'm in Nairobi.
Yes, talk to us about the mood on the ground, my friend.
Well, it's everything. It's a excitement. There is a frenzy, and of course, the high expectations also are mixed with a little bit of frustration. This evening, the news was more focused on the road closures around the city as President Obama arrives in Nairobi. Many Nairobi residents will not have an easy way around town beginning tomorrow on to Sunday when the president leaves the country. So there's that part of it, the frustration. Airports will be closed sometime on Friday and Sunday. And so it's a mixed bag of things. At the same time, everybody's in high expectation. They want to see the president land here, you know, as the son of this land, but also the first sitting president of the United States to visit this country.
Now, talking about expectations, Vincent, I know that you obviously have been interacting with a lot of people, eating nyama choma, sukuma wiki, and ugali, and what have you. If there was one or two important things, frankly, what is it that most Kenyans would like to see being delivered by their own son of the soil?
You know, many are saying that this will be a great opportunity for the president of the United States to raise a few issues with the Kenyan authorities, particularly in the area of entrenching democratic principles in this country, but also respect of human rights and a freedom of press. There have been concerns that while the country is doing well, and many people are kind of looking forward to a better future under the current leadership, there have also been some steps backward. There have been issues of corruption, although the Kenyan president denies that they're losing the fight on corruption. Many feel that President Obama could use this opportunity to kind of nudge the Kenyan leaders to fight more to eliminate or reduce corruption and also kind of in a way help the country to become again a shining nation in the East African region.
Let me ask you a $1 billion question, Vincent. You know as well as I do that President Obama could have gone to Kenya much earlier, but he couldn't do that because Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta had some questions to answer at the Hague-based ICC, International Criminal Court. Now that you do have a situation where the deputy president is actually having questions at the Hague, is the president going to shake hands with him?
Now, that is, I think, the million-dollar question. But President Uhuru Kenyatta, yesterday while addressing the nation, said the deputy president is part of the Kenyan government, and President Barack Obama is coming to visit this country, and he'll be meeting the leadership in this country, and that includes the deputy president. He categorically said that the deputy president will be part of the delegation.
Thank you very much, Vincent. Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally, but have a terrific time back home. We are going.
Thank you very much, Sheikh.
You're most welcome, sir. We'll stay in Kenya and interact with Said Obama, uncle to U.S. President Barack Obama, the chief executive officer and board member of the Mama Sarah Obama Foundation. He joins us by a telephone link up from Kisumu, Nyanza region. Good evening, Said.
Good evening, Dugo. How are you doing?
I am hugely terrific. How is the mood in Nyanza and Kogero, for that matter?
People are upbeat. I mean, we are looking forward to receiving the president, though as at the moment it's not clear if he's going to visit the village, but we are hoping that he visits the village. But even if he doesn't do that one, the most important thing is that he comes to Kenya. And I think everybody is expecting that he comes, you know, down to Kogelo.
What about the family expectations and, of course, indeed, the people around Kogelo and Kisumu? Given that this is the first time that your nephew is coming back home for the first time as President of the United States, how does it feel like?
It feels good. Everywhere, you know, preparations, they don't want to believe that the president will not, you know, come to this part of the country. And so people are still expecting that he will find time to, you know, come to Kagelo and, you know, meet people who have always, you know, supported whatever he has been doing since he, you know, he started, you know, his political career. So a lot of expectation.
I know that you have been informed officially that the president will not be coming to Kogero, but have you seen any signs on the ground that suggest that, in fact, wait a minute, he may, in fact, be having some ideas of stopping by?
What has taken place in Dugu is that we had the American ambassador, His Excellency Godet, saying that Kogelo is not in the plan, you know, in the program. But again, I cannot rule it out totally. Okay, I know in terms of logistics, sometimes it would be very very difficult to have an American president visit. But, you know, also due to security reasons, sometimes, you know, they may prepare people to believe that it's not going to come, only to visit the village. So I don't know. Okay, what they are saying is that it's not in the program, but there's a certain percentage, you know, some possibility that he could visit. So I don't want to rule it out totally.
What about Edimo, the famous indigenous doctor or former terror, the man that in fact first predicted that Obama would in fact become the next president of the United States and had it correctly back in 2008? He seems to be at it again and says, wait a minute, the president is definitely coming to Kogelo, except that the American officials are not saying it for what he said was security reasons or security concerns. Have you heard anything in that direction?
Yes, Dimo resurrected, having been, you know, quiet for a very long time. You remember, I think he spoke when the president was just, you know, dying. Was just preparing himself to contest, you know, the presidency. And since that time, we have not heard much of him. But, okay, my take is that the president was elected because, you know, he deserved to be elected. I don't think whether it was because of Limo. But again, I want to say that, okay, people can talk and I believe Dimo also has the right to say whatever he wants to say. So I saw it on the internet and I heard it, you know, from different people that Dimo is predicting that the president is going to come to the, you know, to Kogelo. So I respect that opinion, though I may not, you know, believe it 100%.
I know, of course, that you have met the president and indeed your nephew several times. And the last time, of course, was last year here in Washington, D.C. What do you intend to say to him the next time you see him around, whether it is Kogelo, Kisumu or Nairobi? Are you, in fact, again going to address him as Bale?
Of course. I mean, he will always remain Barry to me, and I will always remain uncle to him. That's how we call each other, you know. but when we meet, okay, we are going to discuss some family issues. And also at national level, I would want to see him, you know, do something about, you know, something that will make this country an investment destination. One, and, you know, second, I would like him to do something about the insecurity, which is as a result of, you know, terrorist attacks, which are targeting Kenya, not because Kenya did something bad, but because Kenya is standing with the West. I also would want him to do something about Sudan. Sudan has been having problems, and the problems are affecting the neighboring countries. And so I believe dealing with the situation in Sudan is going to be is going to help Kenya and many other countries around this region to stabilize, because, you know, to have a stable country just within this region is going to affect very many countries that are neighboring Sudan.
Thank you very much. Let's stop right there. I'd like to thank Said Obama, uncle of U.S. President Barack Obama, and the chief executive officer and board member of the Mama Sarah Obama Foundation, for sharing his perspective with us today from Kisumu, Nyanza region. Now we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Obama Africa Trip, Obama Africa Trip. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
Global Entrepreneurship Summit. Signature achievements in the past 5 years include: the United States has played a prominent role in organizing 5 global entrepreneurship summits that have elevated entrepreneurship on the global agenda, inspiring new generations of innovative entrepreneurs. The GES has opened up new markets for products and encouraged policymakers to break down barriers to business, such as the draft law currently being developed by the Moroccan government to create a legal status for startups. The U.S. has invested in over 1,000 initiatives and programs promoting entrepreneurship worldwide, many of which are focused on generating opportunities for women and youth and increasing access to capital for entrepreneurs.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and welcome back. And today we are talking about the significance of U.S. President Barack Obama's trip to East Africa. And here in our Washington studios are 3 distinguished guests: Dr. Abdul Karim Bangula, author of several books and professor of international relations at Howard University, based here in the nation's capital; Ni Akwete, Executive Director of the African Immigrants Caucus, an advocacy group founded by immigrants from the African continent living in the United States; and last but not least, Obang Metho, the Executive Director of the Solidarity Movement for a New Ethiopia, or SMNE, a non-political and social justice movement of a diverse group of Ethiopians that seeks to stand together against human rights violations of the current Ethiopian government. Well, gentlemen, I have to say frankly that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the 3 of you.
Thanks for having us.
You're most welcome.
The honor is yours. And you are the Mwalimu.
And I have to say that Dr. Karim Bangura, of course, author of several books, and I have to say the proud honor of four PhDs. Certainly not like the one that was earned by Dr. Grace Mugabe in 3 months. Is that how you got yours?
You got it.
I see. It's been a very long time since we last hosted you on Straight Talk Africa. As a matter of fact, I think the last time you were on the show, we were in Studio 37.
That is correct. Yes, the old studio.
You're most welcome.
Yes.
Nia Kwet, of course, you've been here not a long time ago. You're most welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having
and
me.
And for you, I can't say much, frankly, except to say that I am very, very delighted to have the opportunity to have you again on the show, because I think you too, the last time you were on Straight Talk Africa, Obank, you were in Studio 37.
Yes.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance, of course, to call and talk with us. They are here. They will answer all your questions. You're tuned into Straight Talk Africa, and we'll have more of our conversation later. And, of course, I am told here by some sergeant major in my ear that I have to ask you questions.
Well, that's your job.
Your reaction. Your reaction to the president's trip to Kenya, especially the land, of course, of his father.
Well, as a Pan-Africanist, I would give him a D. And
A D. You mean a
for
distinction?
His relationship.
Is it a distinction?
D, the great D, for his relations with the African continent. We've done a book, almost 400 pages, of people who are his staunch supporters, most of them voted for him twice. And the evaluation of his Africa policy remains to be desired. The B earned as a Pan-Africanist is because of his bold policy.
Is it a B or a D?
A D, the D as in David.
Distinction?
The D he earns for...
Is that a distinction?
A,
because,
B, C, D.
Because
from
here...
A through F is a D grade.
That is a failure grade.
Thank you.
Is that what you mean?
Close to failure, close
see,
to the F
I
grade.
See, I see.
And that D is only because of his bold policy towards Cuba.
Okay.
By opening relationship, by opening the doors to say, look, we cannot continue the way we've been dealing with Cuba. Or I think that was bold. But when it comes to the motherland, the African continent, all the evaluations by people who voted for him twice don't look very stellar.
I see.
And that is unfortunate, because as a card-carrying member of the National Democratic Executive Committee, I was expecting a whole lot more from our president. And then especially when you compare him to the president before him, George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Who did more for Africa.
Did you vote for him, by the way? Did you vote for President Barack Obama?
Well, that's a very private question. I would say that during the primaries, I supported Hillary Clinton. You already know that. We talked about this in Studios 37.
Yeah,
and I was
until
very...
It is your democratic right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who I voted for in the general election is a good surprise. Let's put it that way. But as we discussed in Studio 37, I was very worried from the start, because the Africa Bureau was the last to be staffed.
Mm.
And as soon as Johnny Carson was chosen over Dr. Gwendolyn Michael, I knew Africa was going to be marginalized.
Your friend, Gwendolyn Michael.
That's correct.
Professor.
Because again, we have to be realistic. Gwendolyn Michael lived on the continent.
But
she served there.
I know.
And she is an African American. She lived and served there, and she understood.
But so did Johnny Carson. He
Johnny
was, in fact, a Peace Corps in Tanzania for 3 years.
Johnny Carson.
Besides being a Foreign Service officer
that
later.
That is correct. Mm. But always from the privileged position.
Not as a Peace Corps.
Well, like as I said, a Peace Corps in Africa lives in a privileged position. Now, their service is appreciated, it's wanted, it's loved. But I had a
What about Gwendolyn Michael?
Gwendolyn Michael lived in Ghana.
As what?
As a student, as somebody who went and lived in the country and served in the country and traveled extensively did our research in Ghana. Most of our writings were in Ghana and traveled extensively over
I remember
continent.
Meeting her, by the way, in Dar es Salaam, right. Tanzania, and she had right. books for St. Augustine University in Mwanza,
right.
which I was very delighted to deliver.
Yeah.
What about you, Ni? What grade did you give President Obama? He gives him a D. I thought it was a distinction because in the British context, a distinction British. Is the equivalent of the American A.
Yeah,
well, you know, the professor is entitled to his grade. I give the President Obama, much better grades. But I don't give him an A for perfect. I don't think his Africa policy has been perfect.
Mm.
But for me, that is a superficial issue. The more important issue is why. Whatever grade you give him, why did he wind up that way? Because it seems to me there are two important things I look at. The United States is an imperfect democracy, but pretty democratic. The president is elected by the people. Congress is an institution that holds his feet to the fire. You know, we mentioned Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get an ambassador confirmed to Cuba because Congress is furious at him for opening up the embassy. He's done what he can.
We know that he's a democracy. Is he elected in an election that is deemed to be free, fair, credible, and transparent?
In the United States?
Yes.
I think sufficiently. No election is perfect. So the U.S. elections are not perfect. But the point is, I think that he does reflect the feelings of the American people twice. In 2008 and 2012, he was elected fairly. And this particular Congress, I think given the point that the professor made about George Bush, I think you have to look at their circumstance. Okay, Obama has been attacked and demonized simply for having Kenyan parentage. George Bush didn't get any of that. George Bush crashed the economy so that when he was helping Africa, he had better economics to deal with. Moreover, George Bush was pushed. People cite the health issues, I mean, HIV and PEPFAR that he did for Africa.
Mm.
I think you have to look at how he came to that. A constituency pushed him to do that, the evangelicals. So frankly, as we sit here, we three are African-born residents of the United States. So regardless of what grade one gives President Obama for his Africa policy,
mm-hmm.
and let me repeat, I don't give him perfect marks, but I give him slightly better than the professor has given him. But I say we have to look in the mirror. We are not organized. We don't have a strong voice. We don't push him. Even when you look, I mean, I talked with Gwen Michael at Georgetown. I know her well. As the professor mentioned, she's sort of semi-Ghanaian. So we are very close.
Mm.
But how do you get appointed? You get appointed by being part of the president, those who work for him.
Right.
I did a little bit of work for the president. The point is that we need to organize, play our cards well so that we get appointed. And once we get appointed, we have to push whoever is president. We have to hold their feet to the fire. It seems to me that we, the Africans here, are not sufficiently organized. We sit back and we say, well, his father is from Kenya, so he should solve all of Africa's problems. And I think that is wrong.
So
I think we should look in the mirror. We need to do a better job.
There is need for a very active African diaspora.
Absolutely.
Now, when you talk about the president, George W. Bush, in terms of his accomplishments, of course, PEPFAR is a great program, no question about it. A lot of Africans have benefited out of it, especially those suffering from malaria, HIV, AIDS, and tuberculosis. You can also talk perhaps about the Millennium Challenge account, which, of course, is not limited to Africa,
yes,
but across the world. You can talk about that, but what about Obama's, for example, YALI,
yes.
Young African Leadership Initiative, which also, of course, is known as the Mandela Washington Fellowship, which basically looks at the future of Africa in terms of leadership. What about Power Africa, attempting to light the African continent? What about the Global Entrepreneurship Summit?
Yes.
And these are programs, by the way, which really do not encourage charity, dependency. These are programs that benefit from essentially market